Rich DeMuro joins us for our Tech Tuesday. Rich, on tech.tv. We were doing stories also, and we've seen some of these headlines out of the East Coast where things are not going to get better before they get worse. And that is this hacking group that was responsible for shutting down that gas and fuel pipeline on the East Coast. First of all, let's talk about this this ransom attack. Did they get the data they were looking for? Did Colonial pay? I mean, what's our situation here?
Unclear at this point. So, you know, this group is, you know, it's interesting because this group is kind of putting themselves as a group of people that are nice because they say we're not hacking these things for political reasons. We're not doing it, you know, to raise the gas prices. We're just doing it for money. That's all they want. And they say they're going to do it again, by the way. And so this is kind of scary because we're seeing a trend of these ransom attacks on large corporations just continue to increase. And, you know, if I was IT at a large company, it's like I am making sure all of the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, because this is scary stuff. This group in particular, they are acting like a startup. And they're saying, look, we're going to sell our software to hack companies to anyone who wants it, as long as you don't use it to hack a school, a hospital, or even governments. They said were safe, which is, you know, kind of nice. I mean, who thinks of hackers as being friendly?
So they're ethical criminals, apparently.
Theoretically. I mean, that's how they're positioning themselves. They put out a little press release and said that, you know, this is how we act. This is what we're doing. So, I mean, I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt. It's a hacking group.
What have they done in the past? Do we know?
Not too clear on what they've done in the past. Let's see. Yeah, I'm not really sure if this has been, if this is a group that's been behind many other attacks, but there's so many, you know, some of these, this is a much more organized group than we've seen in the past. And I think that the fact that they're advertising their services for the future makes them a little bit scarier than some of the more rogue groups we've seen out there.
What kind of money are they demanding? Do we know a ballpark figure of what they're holding companies hostage for?
Typically, we're seeing ransom demands, and this is being reported by CNBC, anywhere from $200,000 to $20 million. And so, you know, these companies, a lot of times they will pay, because here's what they do. They take, once they get in on their systems, they lock them up and they tell the company, look, you either pay to unlock these files, or we're going to take these files, all your personal data, and we're going to put it out there on the internet for everyone to download and see. And of course, these companies do not want to be embarrassed in that way, to have a large data breach. And so a lot of times companies, large and small, will pay. And so this is why we have this happen, because it is a lucrative business. And a lot of times once they pay, they do give them the keys back to their computers and unlock them, and they move on with their lives. I mean, it's a really weird situation that we're seeing with these cyber attacks.
Just a side note to that. There's something on KTLA right now where they're talking about this same story. The gas prices in North Carolina are $2.69 a gallon. So they can stand to let it go up a little bit if necessary.
Yeah, it's not the $4.13 that I paid yesterday.
hey, Rich, what is the...
going up when people are actually talking about gas prices again, right?
And right.
We talk about them for many years, and now it's like gas prices are a thing again. So, yes.
What is the emergency broadband benefit program?
This is a big program that is going to start tomorrow. So first day you can apply, this will give you $50 off of your internet bill every month for an unspecified amount of months. They basically, the government, and this has been in the works for many months now, the government moves kind of slow with this stuff, but $3.2 billion is earmarked to help Americans afford internet. Now, this probably was better placed 6 months ago when we were deep in the thick of, you know, homeschooling and everyone working from home. You know, as things have lightened up a bit, you know, more kids are back at school, but you know, if you're a low-income family, if you've got, there's a couple of, you know, if you're on SNAP, or if you've got the, if you're on a reduced lunch program for the kids in the household, you do qualify. There's a lot of different qualifications. Even if you lost income in the past year, you do qualify for this program. So there's a whole laundry list of people that qualify for this. Bottom line, you can get $50 off your monthly internet bill, and it doesn't really matter who your provider is. All the major providers are going to be participating, which is like AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and a lot of them are doing it on both the internet on your phone and your broadband at home. So the big website to know is Emergency Broadband Benefit is the website that you want to go to. And that will open up tomorrow, by the way. So the getemergencybroadband.org, it's there and you can look at it, but you can't actually apply until May 12th. So kind of look through all the qualifications, see if you qualify. But if you do, you might as well do it, because $50 a month could bring your bill down to as low as $5 a month, depending on how much you pay.
All right, so imagine walking in front of a security camera and suddenly it basically comes to life and it asks you, what are you doing here? What are you doing on this property? That is the idea behind a new type of security company called Deep Sentinel. Rich Jamuro joins us now, Tech Tuesday, and this sounds pretty cool. It sounds also like it might cost a lot, huh?
It is. It is expensive. But I thought when I saw this, it's like, wow, what a concept. So if you're at a corporation, let's say in a mall, you know, you see the mall security guard, they've got that big, you know, screen of all the different security cameras, and they have the ability to go out there and say, hey, what's going on? They can, you know, react. Well, with a home security camera and Ring and all these cameras, they kind of are onto this where, you know, someone rings your doorbell and you get the video feed on your phone and you can say, hey, you know, just leave the package at the door or whatever. They're halfway there. But this new type of company is what they're doing is they're using AI to assess the situation. So a little box inside your house, like a computer box, is looking at all the feeds coming in from your cameras. When it identifies something that it thinks is suspicious, it immediately flips that signal to a guard that is stationed somewhere in America. And it says, and that guard says, hey, you know, it looks at the video and it can say whatever it needs to say to the person out there. Say, hey, what are you doing on my property? What can I help you? You can't stay here overnight, whatever, you know, whatever they want to say. And I thought this was pretty interesting.
Does it come with a siren? I know that the ones I have out in front of my house, they have sirens that you can activate.
Yes, this has a loud siren, 100 decibel siren, and it's a standard pack is three of these cameras that you install. You can either, you know, you can self-install, you can have someone install them if you want. And you know, the standard's three cameras for $700. And then it's $100 for monitoring each month, which I know sounds very expensive. But you do have a lot of people paying $50-$60 for something like an ADT system, which may not have this. And the other thing, you know, the guy who founded this, by the way, is a co-founder of Redfin. So made a lot of money at Redfin. And then he said, I see this system, you know, like I see this as a good idea. How can we make this big? And, you know, it's been around for a couple of years, but I think the expense and also just people not really being aware of it, you know, we know Ring, we know Simply Safe, we know all these other, you know, Amazon, Alexa, and all these things, but this is a new one. And I'd never heard of it until I did the story, went out to a house and saw it in person. And I got to say, it was pretty impressive.
So Facebook has plans for an Instagram for kids. What could go wrong? Gosh.
Instagram for adults is barely, you know, so this letter to the National Association of Attorneys General, 44 states basically have said, we don't want this. Please don't make this. Now, the same thing happened, by the way, when Facebook was going to create a messenger app for kids. They all said, please don't do this. And Facebook did it anyway. They said, there's going to be no ads. We're going to let parents kind of like, you know, handle all the settings. And same thing. So now we are supposedly going to get this Instagram for kids. These are for kids under 13. And these attorney generals say, you know what? Look, this can be social media can be harmful, physical, emotional harm. Cyberbullying could be a problem. And just in general, to me, as someone who, you know, has kids and has seen just the impact of social media on adults, I mean, it's the like counts, the popularity contests. I mean, you add all this stuff in with kids that are in, you know, high school and middle school or younger, and it does seem like it could bring up a lot of problems.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we just give them spoonfuls of anxiety as they wake up every single morning?
I mean, they have their whole adult life for that. With this, I mean, adults can barely handle social media. I mean, you look anywhere, and believe me, you talk to anyone about their social media, it seems casual, but no, they're looking at how many likes they have, how many friends, their ratio of friends that they're following to the amount of people that are following them. I mean, this stuff is real, and people think about this, and it's just. To place that on a kid, which, by the way, a lot of them are using it anyway. They're just lying about their age.
Right.
For Facebook to sort of orchestrate this for this younger generation that they know will generally graduate to the real app, could be a problem.
KTLA's tech reporter Rich DeMuro, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks for having me on.